Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're working on Colossians chapter 2. The big idea is that Jesus is the answer. He is greater than all my problems, greater than all my fears, greater than whatever baggage I brought into this room today. Jesus is the answer. Lord, I'm not even clear on exactly what the question is, but Lord, in Jesus' name, be the answer in my soul. One of the things I love about the book of Colossians, and one of the reasons I wanted to go there now, is because there are so many things that just trigger me in the book of Colossians. There are just turns of phrase and things that have just sort of lodged in my soul. And one of them is as we come to chapter 2 of Colossians, the second half of chapter 2, is a place where the way I memorized it as a kid, it said, touch not, taste not, handle not. Now I grew up in a touch not, taste not, handle not religion. I grew up in a behavior-based approach to Christianity that said, if I can only get this right, I'd be okay. If I can only get my language under control. Anybody with me on that? If I can only get my lust under control. Anybody with me on that? If I can only get my appetites under control. If I can only get my mind in the right place. If I can only get my feet in the right place. If I could just fix myself. And yet there's this line at the end of Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start there and work our way backwards a little bit, but there's this line in Colossians chapter 2 at the end of it where it says, all these things, they lack any value. That touch not, taste not, handle not expression of religion lacks any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Some people might say that ultimately the test of whether your Christianity is working is it restraining sensual indulgence? Are you doing the right things? Are you saying the right things? Are you behaving appropriately? Or are you disappointing yourself and others and ultimately God? Paul says there is a way to approach this that honestly just doesn't work. There is a way to approach this that could leave you feeling empty and powerless and as if you had no way to become the person God created you to be, as if you just didn't have what it takes. And you may even be sitting here in this room today with this thought process that says, I'm checking this out, I'm trying again, but my question, the one that nags at me in the back of my head is, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? What do I have to do for the pieces to finally fall into place? Why can't I stop being the person who doesn't get this right? And so I just want to invite you to come with me a little bit down this exploration. Because if there's a way that doesn't work, what if we could find a way that does work? There's a line in Colossians 3, in 2, we'll see it in a minute, where it talks about people who have lost connection with Jesus. They've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body finds its connection. Well, if it doesn't work when we lose connection with the head, how can we reconnect? How can we reconnect with the head? A touch not, taste not, handle not religion has an appearance of wisdom. It has an appearance of wisdom, but it's really caught up in a pseudo-humility. Paul lays it out right here. It has an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but ultimately it lacks any value. It lacks any value. But I've spent a fair chunk of my life in Christ. I've spent a fair chunk of my time in church, being the guy who tries to look like I've got it right a pretty good chunk of the time. And it's exhausting. Anybody with me on that? It's just exhausting. It really is. And so what I want to do is I want to go back and recap some of the things that we've seen in Colossians chapter 1 and earlier in Colossians chapter 2. Jason walked us through it when he said, look, there comes a time to just sort of drive a stake in the ground and say, I do believe in Jesus. There comes a time to just drive a stake in the ground and declare it. Jesus is my Savior. My hope is in Jesus, right? There comes a time to drive a stake in the ground and say, Jesus is my Lord. And there's something about that that you may find a little tough, because we've placed a real value on not overdriving your headlights, spiritually speaking. You know what I'm talking about? And yet, as we worship and the team leads us in worship, maybe you find yourself like me. Sometimes when we sing those strong words of affirmation, I find my heart saying, Lord, make it so. Make it so that the words that I'm singing are actually true of my life. Lord, establish that. Make it so in my life. And I want to invite you into a really simple thing, and it may seem like, oh, Rusty, you're just being goofy. But I want to invite you into this. I want to invite you, what if you could say with me just right now, out loud, I do believe in Jesus. I do. Now, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth in terms of getting you to proclaim something that is not real in you. But here's what I know. I know that there are an awful lot of people who have an encounter with Jesus somewhere along the way in their life, and that encounter with Jesus gets shelved. It just gets put on a back burner. And it's not that it didn't happen, and it's not that it doesn't matter, but you lose touch. You lose touch with that. So what if you could just, if this is even remotely true of you, would you just say this with me? I do believe in, say it out loud with me. I do believe in Jesus. I do, say it again. I do believe in Jesus. Because I think it awakens something in your heart. If it's laying dormant there, it may awaken something in your heart. Say it with me again. I do believe in Jesus. And there's something to be said for the physical proclamation, even reminding your own heart, let alone the people around you. Say it again. I do believe in Jesus. And to remind yourself that Jesus is my Savior. Now I know that may sound simplistic. It may sound like the thing that you said when you were, you know, in a kindergarten Sunday school class when somebody led you in a prayer. For me, the pastor came over to my house when I was a little bitty kid. We went in the living room. We were never allowed in the living room. And you know why, right? Because there was white furniture. And dirty little boys don't belong in a room with white furniture. I'm just saying. But when the preacher comes over, you get to go to the Holy of Holies, which is the living room of your house. And so we knelt down, and he led me in a prayer. And I didn't know everything there was to know about that prayer. But part of it was, I do believe in Jesus. I don't know if it was those words exactly, but that was the heart of it, right? And invite Jesus to be my Savior. And a seed was planted there. Remember that story Jesus told about seed that gets planted, and some of it falls on good ground and it takes root, but some of it, the birds come and they begin to, you know, carry the seed away. They eat the seed. And some of the seed that gets planted in your life, some of it just dries up because there's not enough moisture, you know, and it just dries up. And some of it starts to grow, but it gets choked out by the weeds. And there's something to be said, even for people like you and me, to come back to the basics, come back to the elemental things of our faith, and remind my own heart and say to anybody who cares to know this, I do believe in Jesus. Say this with me. Jesus is my Savior. Can you say that? Say it with me. Jesus is my Savior. And you may say, well, I don't know if that's true for me or not. You know what? Unless you just feel like a true hypocrite to even say that, just say it and see if it doesn't awaken something that's been lying dormant in you. Say it with me again. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus, again, Jesus is my Savior. And then honestly, there's a beyond kind of moment that goes, it's not just that Jesus is my Savior. It's not just a ticket out of hell someday. It's not just fire insurance. But Jesus, I want you to have say in my life over how I live my day to day. And that's what it means if you were to say something like, Jesus is my Lord. Picture this with me for a minute, if you would. What if that were actually true of you? What if the fact that you do believe in Jesus, and you do, even if you don't understand all there is to understand about Jesus, which, by the way, show me somebody who knows all there is to know about Jesus and I'll show you a liar. I'm not saying that there is not value in pursuing that. There is value in pursuing that. But we don't arrive this side of seeing him face to face. There is coming a time when we will know fully, even as we are fully known, but it will only be when I get to see him face to face. In the meantime, I believe more than I know. And I'm guessing you maybe do too. If you were to say it with me, I do believe in Jesus. What if that actually was the difference maker in your life? What if instead of touch not, taste not, handle not religion, what if there was a relationship with Jesus based on the fact that he has showed up in my life? And say it with me, Jesus is my Savior. Say it, Jesus is my Savior. And you may have asked Jesus in your heart years ago, open that door if you would. When I got baptized, open that baptistry door. When I got baptized, I was just a little bitty kid. That's one of the reasons I love to take children through the water. But I'm always careful to say to parents, this is not the end, this is the beginning. Because here's what happened. When the preacher came over to my house and we prayed that prayer in the living room, and they took me into the water of baptism. Our baptistry was deep back in the day, and they had to stand me on a folding chair so I could get my head above the water. But by the time I hit early adolescence, what we would call preteen now in our ministry framework, what I found was that my five-year-old's understanding of Jesus was not big enough for my emerging adolescent wants and desires and questions, lusts, all of the above. Now, I'm not saying that the seed that had been planted in my life when I was a little guy wasn't for real, but it had been shelved. It had been put on the back burner. And there was something in me that was lying dormant that needed to be reawakened. I do believe in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. But there came a time when I needed to invite Jesus, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you be part of my decision making? Would you be the one, we'll get to this next week, will you be the one on whom I fix my eyes? Will you be the one on whom I fix my heart? Because frankly, touch not, taste not, handle not religion was driving me crazy, even as a kid. Because it was clear to me that there were people in my church who got it. There were people in my church who were doing the stuff. They were getting it, and they were living, and they were empowered to do the things. And yet I felt like I was trying and straining and gritting my teeth and clenching my knuckles, and I could look right for an hour on Sunday. You know, I could put on a suit just like my dad did. I could carry my Bible under my arm. You know, I would be the picture perfect Sunday school kid. But when I would go to bed at night, I remember one time we were having a youth revival, and we had invited somebody to come in from out of state. His name was Don Boyette. I remember him well. Don Boyette. And I remember the Saturday night before that string of services, the revival services were going to start on Sunday morning. I remember laying there in my bed. Maybe you've heard me tell this story. June, you've heard me tell this story. I remember laying there in my bed, preteen. And I was praying, Lord, if there's something more to this, if there's a piece that I'm missing, if there's a mystery, if there's a secret. You ever put together a jigsaw puzzle only to find that last piece, the dog ate it? That's kind of how it felt to me. I'm like, I know how I'm supposed to behave. I know how I'm supposed to act. I just can't pull it off, at least not for more than an hour at a time. I just knew on the inside that there was something about me that was a sham. And I prayed, Lord, if there's something more, if there's something I don't get, if there's another piece, Lord, would you show it to me this week? And if not, because I'd been on the roller coaster. You know the roller coaster. You go, you get close to Jesus, things are going great. The worship is awesome. And then, you know, Monday comes and life is challenging through the week and you just lose touch with it all, the roller coaster, the downwards. And it just, I'd been through that so many, and I just said, if there's something more, show me. And if there's not, will you just leave me alone? Because the roller coaster is just, it's not working for me. I knew all the touch not, taste not, handle not rules, and they just weren't working. We got through the week, and it was a great week. It was one of those, it was a high, it was a mountaintop week, and God really used it, and it was beautiful. And we got down to the last night of it, Friday night of it, and it comes down to, back in the day, we used to, you know, we'd have the invitation, and then the pastor would say, you know what I'm talking about, Paul? He'd say, if no one comes on this final stanza, we will close. You know, it was the evangelistic two-minute warning, and I didn't have anything to pray about. I honestly did not have anything to pray about, but I just didn't want it to be over because I knew as soon as it's over, you know, the roller coaster starts downhill. And so I went forward, and God met me there with the answer to the prayer that I had forgotten I had prayed. God, here's what God told me. You're smiling, Alan, because you remember I've told this story so many times. God said, you're right. You can't do it. You don't have what it takes. But I can do it through you if you will let me. And that's what it's talking about when Paul says they've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Touch not, taste not, handle not. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teaching. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. Instead, they produce a false humility, because when I was getting it right, I was pretty proud. When I could control my thoughts and my anger and my emotions, when I could hold it all in check, I felt pretty good about myself. But it was a false humility, harsh treatment of the body, and lacked any value for ultimate change. So I want to invite you to kind of come back to this, just reconnect with the head that is Christ. Reconnect with the head that is Christ. Jason led us through this as we talked about this line from Colossians 2, verse 6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just this heart that says, I do believe. And you put your roots deep in the soil of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Not putting my roots in my ability to manage the rules well. You ever seen one of those trees that gets toppled over in a storm? You know, the times when it doesn't just break the trunk, but the whole root ball comes up. You ever seen one of those? And what you see when you see that entire root system toppled up, right? You see a root system that's a mile wide and only an inch deep, right? Touch not, taste not, handle not religion has a tendency to be a mile wide and only an inch deep. And when it gets put to the test, it just doesn't work. What would it look like if you could say, remind yourself, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to be established in you. I want to be rooted and built up in you. Lord, I want to be completed in you. There's this line, you've heard me quote it. There's this line that says, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? He has begun a good work in you. Every one of you in this room, God has begun a good work in you. You know how I know it? Because you're here. God has started something in you. Now, it may not have gotten very far yet, and you may have some walls up, and that's okay, but God has started something in you. And there's a promise that says, he who began this good work, Lord, would you complete it in me? Would you keep drawing me in? Would you keep drawing me deeper? Would you keep sinking the roots farther? Lord, would you complete what you've begun in me? I don't think you'd hang around this place if God wasn't up to something in your heart. I don't think you would. And the thing about having a genuine connection with the Lord is that it does go beyond your ability to keep the rules. goes beyond your ability to even know the rules. It's not about touch not, taste not, handle not religion. It's about a deep connection. Paul says it this way in the very beginning of Colossians. He says, look, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we've heard about your faith. We've heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you from the true message of the gospel. And Paul said, look, here's what we pray when we pray for you. Every time we think about you, we pray for you. And here's what we pray. We pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Pray that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will. I know an awful lot of people, myself included, who have spent too many days empty. And what if part of your daily prayer life was reminding your soul, I do believe in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Lord, fill me, complete me, root me and ground me in you. Filled with the knowledge of his will, with wisdom and understanding, honestly, that can only come from the Holy Spirit. I have known very few people in life who could think themselves into holiness. No, I've known some brilliant, brilliant Christians who think and study and they're deeply rational and they could debate with anyone in the world. But if you scratch below the surface, the deeper life of great Christians is always, always about being deeply connected with Jesus, rooted and built up in him. Fill me, Lord, with the knowledge of your will, not so that I can be a persuasive arguer, but so that I can live this life that I long to live before you. Yeah? So that I can live this life loving my wife the way I know God called me to love my wife, so that I could live my life being the dad that God has called me to be, so that I could live my life being the friend that God called me to be. Lord, fill my life so that I can live it, so that I can live it, so that I can live it in your strength, so that I can live it with endurance. Because to say, I do believe in Jesus, that can happen in an instant. To say, Jesus is my Savior, that can happen in an instant. To live like Jesus is your Lord, that is the work of a lifetime. That is the work of a lifetime. And that is the kind of thing that Paul talked about when he says, you rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You brought us into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so I fix my eyes on Jesus and I fix my heart on Jesus. This incredible mystery. Paul said it this way. He said in later in chapter 1, verse 26, there's a mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations. There is a secret. But the secret has been revealed, it's been disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Touch not, taste not, handle not religion has never brought anyone to holiness. A mind set on Jesus, a heart set on Jesus is exactly the difference maker. Paul said it. He said, look, you were dead. You were dead. You were powerless to do it, but God made you alive. And in every one of Paul's letters, there's a therefore. Based on the fact that you have heard the gospel, based on the fact that you have come to this moment of saying, I do believe in Jesus. Based on the fact that God has done business in your heart. Jesus is my Savior. And it may have been years ago, and it may have been at a whole different time and place in your heart and mind, but a seed was planted in you. And And the seed that God has planted in you, God is still at work to call life out in. Since you do know this, since you have done business with Jesus, don't let anyone lead you into a touch not, taste not, handle not, excuse for living real life with Jesus. All the rest of it is shadow. All the rest of it is shadow, but the substance comes in Jesus. So, if there is an approach to Christianity, if there is an approach to walking with God that doesn't work, here's what does. You set your heart on Jesus. You set your mind on Jesus. We'll see this more deeply next week. It goes into Colossians chapter 3. But you set your heart, you set your mind on Jesus. You remember again that God has come to live inside you. Say it with me. I do believe in Jesus. Say it. I do believe in Jesus. Just from your heart to God's ear. I do believe in Jesus. Say this with me. Jesus is my Savior. Even if that is just a kernel of truth in your heart, if there is anything in you that would allow you to say that with integrity, say it with me again. Jesus is my Savior. Let it awaken something in your heart. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Because this is where it comes down to today. If you could say, Jesus is my Lord. And maybe for you to have any integrity at all with that, you'd have to say, Lord, make it so. Lord, I want to live with you as my Lord. I want to live with you in control of my life. I want you to have the deciding voice. I want you to be the one who directs my path. Even if all I can see is the next right step, even if all I've got is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, Jesus, be my Lord.